And now, it's very clear that the original tree in Romans 11 depicts Israel, and that the branches that were broken off depict the unbelieving segment in Israel which was set aside. He says this. That's clear. But the big question which has puzzled commentators is, who are the branches from the wild olive tree that were grafted in to the cultivated olive tree? Let's see first who they can't be. Some say that these new branches are the Gentile nations. Now, that can't be for several reasons. First, these branches here are referred to as believers, standing in faith, and this certainly could not be said of the Gentile nations. Second, the Gentiles will not be broken off or set aside. They'll be blessed when all Israel is saved. And third, anyway, the Gentile nations certainly do not live by the root and fatness of the olive tree, as these branches, these new branches, do. Now, there are others who hold that these branches are the church, the body of Christ, but that can't be, for the church contains both Jews and Gentiles, a remnant of Israelites according to the election of grace, along with the Gentiles. And these Israelites are depicted as branches that were left in the tree, not those that were grafted into it. Well, who are these branches then? I believe, beloved, that they represent the Gentile believers in the church. I believe this is why Paul is speaking about, or what he's speaking about, in Colossians 1:27, where he refers to this mystery among the Gentiles. This was never predicted, that God would bring Gentiles in along with the Jews to partake of the same blessing. Only, it must be remembered that Romans 9 to 11, those three chapters, have to do with a dispensational position, not with the doctrine of justification by faith. God has given Gentile believers a position among his people for the duration of this dispensation of grace. But this is going to be changed again when the body of Christ is raptured to heaven and a few years later all Israel is saved. Look at verse 25, which we just read. I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this secret, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the full complement of the Gentiles be come in. It's only until then, and then all Israel saved. Now this brings us to one more important fact. This passage in Romans 11 was written mainly to exhort Gentile believers not to be conceited or to boast, because they now replace unbelieving Gentiles in the purposes of God. No less than five times he warns his readers against such an attitude. Verse 18, boast not against the branches. Verse 20, be not high-minded, but fear. Verse 21, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Verse 22, beware lest thou be cut off. Verse 25, don't be wise in your own conceits. Now, with this in mind, let's begin with verses 17 and 18 of Romans 11. I'm going to read them, and you listen very carefully. And if some of the branches of Israel be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, remember this, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. You see, Israel as a nation was God's covenant people, even though there were unbelievers among them. Every Israelite had a covenant relationship. Even if not a personal saving relationship, he had a covenant relationship with God. But the time came, described in the book of Acts and here, when he broke off the unbelieving branches and cast them aside. So now only the believers in Israel are left as God's people. And to replace the unbelievers, he took believers from among the Gentiles and grafted them in with the believing Israelites. And together, these partake of the root and fatness of the olive tree. This is why Paul makes so much of Abraham in Romans 4 and Galatians 3, and insists that we must be saved by faith, as Abraham, the father of the faithful, was. This is why he declares in Galatians 3:29 that if we Gentiles are in Christ, we are Abraham's seed. We partake of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Verse 18 again, he says, if this is so, then don't boast against the branches that were cut off. And if you boast, remember this. That's implied there. Remember this. Thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. We Gentiles are so prone to feel ourselves better than Israel today, because Israel as a nation did not accept her Messiah. But indeed, we ought to thank God again and again that we, to whom he made no promises, we pagans of the Gentiles, are now allowed to meet and sing the praises of Israel's God and Israel's Messiah, now our Savior and Lord and head of the body. But if you boast, says Paul, or think you're some better than the branches that were plucked off, remember, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. This is what he means when he says in Romans 15:27 that we have been made, we Gentile believers have been made partakers of Israel's spiritual blessing. In verse 19, he repeats the argument that some Gentile believers might give for boasting. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. But he answers, well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Now I remind you again that this has nothing to do with individual salvation. It has to do with dispensational position. He's talking about a tree that's supposed to bear fruit, a tree that was supposed to be a blessing to all about it. Now, as individual believers, our salvation is of course secure. This is based upon God's electing grace and his eternal purpose. But the Gentile believers can and will someday be set aside in God's purposes for the blessing of the world. So that the apostle says to the Gentile church, if you want God to continue to use you in the world to bear fruit, don't get conceited, but go on in humble faith. Behold, he says in verse 22, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity. Notice the branches were broken off. Only in one place does it say cut off, and that's a very special word which means to cut right down, to cut short. Otherwise, the word is several times broken off. There's a certain severity there. So notice, he says, Take heed of God's goodness and severity on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. He doesn't mean you'll be lost, no more than he meant that the other branches would be lost. They were lost, but he broke them off the tree because they were not bearing fruit, you see. They were no good because they were lost. Now he says, they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Now here we see clearly that he's not talking about individual salvation. For the individuals that were broken off will not be grafted in again. They lived and died without Christ. They committed what our Lord called the unpardonable sin when they rejected not only the witness of the Father and of the Son, but also of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost and just after. So he's not talking about the individuals that were that rejected Christ, but the nation. The majority in Israel, the nation was broken off, or corporately these unbelievers were broken off, and the nation will one day be grafted in again. As he says in verses 26 and 27, and so all Israel shall be saved. You remember how the Lord told about the great tribulation which Daniel had already predicted, a time of trouble on earth such as mankind has never seen. But in that day Israel shall be saved. She will cry to her Messiah, and the deliverer shall come to Zion and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For, he says, this is my covenant unto them. Now, in closing, let's look at verse 24, where he says to the Gentile believer, if thou wert cut out of the olive tree which is wild by nature, and were grafted in contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted in again to their own olive tree? Now, generally, good stock is grafted into a poor tree to make it bear good fruit. But in this case, contrary to nature, the branches of a wild, worthless olive tree are grafted into the good tree. Now, it's true, some have pointed out that this is sometimes done in the case of olive trees. It's contrary to nature, they say, but not entirely contrary to practice. But the point is that this is contrary to nature. That's the point God brings out. And this being so, how much more shall God someday set aside those wild branches and graft unbelieving Israel into her own olive tree when she turns to Christ in faith? When will this happen? When will the Gentiles be broken off again in the plan of God to be replaced by the natural branches? Well, it seems clear to me, at least, that the Gentile branches, that is, the Gentile part of the church, along with the remnant of Israel, will be broken off at the rapture. He brings in only the Gentiles here because they were the only ones grafted in. And they will be broken off again at the rapture. We believers often long for Christ to come for us, but don't forget that this will take place when the church's usefulness in this world will have largely been brought to an end. Paul clearly states in his pastoral epistle that the apostasy will precede the rapture, the departure from the faith. At any rate, let's not forget this, that the moment of our rapture to heaven will mark the end of our opportunity to evangelize the world and reach our fellow men with the gospel of the grace of God. Have you ever thought of that? People are so anxious to meet Christ, and they cry, "Oh, Lord, how long?" I never pray that prayer. That's a prayer found in the book of Revelation. It's prayed in the middle of the tribulation period. But, oh, I thank God for every day that the Lord in grace remains in heaven and leaves us his ambassadors here to win the lost to Christ. I'm glad he waited for me. Aren't you glad he waited for you, my Christian friend? And as earnestly as I long to see my Savior face to face, I still am grateful for every day, every hour of opportunity he gives me here. But Christians are becoming less and less faithful, more and more conceited in their minds and hearts, more and more complacent. The apostasy is increasing. And when it's gone far enough, the Lord will take his own away and take away from them the privilege of bearing witness to the law. After the rapture, of course, will come the period of tribulation, during which Israel will cry for deliverance, and then the natural branches will be grafted in again. Now, do you see how beautifully Romans 11, 25 to 27 fits in with all of this? I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this secret. This was never prophesied. This is the mystery. I would not that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. That blindness, in part, has happened unto Israel until the fullness of the full complement of the Gentiles be brought in. And so, oh, what a glorious day this will be. All Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And then, oh, all Testament prophecy unites to tell and to describe what a blessing Israel will become to the nations. Then Israel again will be the full olive tree bringing forth abundant fruit. As we read in the 15th verse, if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? And through them the nations shall hear, and the blessing will flow to them. As Zechariah 8:13 says, as you were a curse among the Gentiles, O house of Israel and house of Judah, it shall come to pass that you'll be saved, and you'll be a blessing to the Gentiles. And the little further on in the 23rd verse, Gentiles will come out of 10 nations and say to the Jew, oh, let's go with you, for we know God is with you. Now, what I want to get at here is that everything depends on the grace of God received through faith. Why isn't Israel as a nation enjoying this now? Paul says, they sought it not by faith. They stumbled at that stumbling stone. They wouldn't receive it as a gift. They went about to establish their own righteousness. My Gentile friend or Jewish friend, are you doing the same? Oh, stop it. You must be saved by grace. And if you're going to be used, you'll then be used by grace through faith. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved by grace through faith, and then start bearing fruit and winning others to Christ also by grace through faith.